For more on the vaccine shortage and its implications, we're joined in our studio by Richard Raymond. Dr. Raymond is president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers and is chief medical officer for the state of Nebraska. Welcome to the program, Dr.
Thank you.
You should explain, you're in Washington, D.C. Actually, you came here for a conference about the vaccine, but not to deal with this problem.
That's correct. The National Vaccine Advisory Committee, of which I am a member, meets three times a year on the first Tuesday and Wednesday of each month, and this happened to be our regular scheduled meeting. Today's agenda was primarily the status of influenza efforts in the United States and how to increase the number of people that get vaccinated on an annual basis.
New assignment, how to decrease the number of people, or which people, who really should be getting the vaccine?
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of decrease, which is obviously the end result, the real assignment is how to prioritize who does get this limited vaccine now that we know the numbers have gone down.
So, who are the high-priority people who should be getting the vaccine?
Well, there's several categories that will be the first to get the vaccine, hopefully. Children ages 6 through 23 months, adults aged greater than 65 years of age, persons between 2 and 64 years of age who have underlying chronic medical conditions that might affect their immune system or their ability to respond, all women who are pregnant during the influenza season, residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities, a small group of children 6 months to 18 months who are on chronic daily aspirin therapy, healthcare workers that have direct patient care, and then also out-of-home caregivers and household contacts for children that are less than 6 months of age since they cannot be vaccinated.
Should there be, given a reduction of nearly half of the supply of a flu vaccine, should there be enough to take care of all of those groups?
For the identified groups at highest risk and with their vaccination rates historically, yes, there is enough vaccine to take care of them.
What about the rest of us? If we don't fit into one of those groups, should we be calling up our doctor or the HMO and trying to get a flu shot right now?
Well, we're going to ask the American public not to do that. We're going to ask the providers of flu shots not to provide immunizations to that segment of the population, and we'll ask our public health officials to help us get that message out.
Historically, by the way, how does this rate as a problem for flu vaccine?
It's been about 10 years since we had this small amount of flu vaccine. Prior to last year, we usually dumped, or the manufacturers actually discarded leftover flu vaccine. It does not carry over year to year. It's always a one-year basis, and historically they had always gotten rid of excess until last year when they dropped the production by about 13 million units, and that's the first year that we know of that we really ran into some shortage problems.
We just heard reporter Dick Knox address this issue, but are there actually alternatives? If you're worried about flu and you're not going to get a flu vaccine because you're not one of the high-risk groups, are there good alternatives to it?
Well, for those that are not in a high-risk group, there is the live vaccine, the nasal spray, which was new last year, that is available for those persons ages 2 through 49. That was readily available last year, and we did not use up that supply. No, we came nowhere near using up that supply. There are also a category of drugs called antivirals, of which are actually four. Some work better than others. Some have better age groups, et cetera. They can be used either to prevent getting the flu vaccine, and they can also be used to treat it if begun within 48 hours of symptoms.
Richard Knox spoke of Tamiflu, for example. Effective, but very expensive.
And that's the brand name of one of the four antivirals, yes.
What does this tell us, this risk that we run here of being without half the flu vaccine supply for one season?
Well, I think it tells us in the long term we need to find a more modern, more efficient way of producing influenza vaccine. When something like this happens, we're 6 months away from ramping up and getting another dose provided. We still use eggs to grow the virus on, and there are other ways that need to be explored to see how we can get that done better. We need to look at ways to not be so dependent on each year trying to figure out which virus it might be. There must be ways that we can do a better job of having a stockpile that doesn't expire every year. And then we also need to look at the source of the vaccine itself.
When you say there must be ways, this is a research problem or this is an application of known science problem?
I think it's a research problem. Egg cultures were common 30 years ago in laboratories, and they're not so common anymore, but they continue to be the prevalent way of making flu vaccine. That may be the best way, but we need to take a look at it and ask those questions again.
Dr. Raymond, thanks a lot for dropping in. Richard Raymond, who is president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers and also chief medical officer for the state of Nebraska.